We're talking about automation here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Will robots take over the world? Most researchers don't really think so. But how about our jobs? Amazon's chief for robotics told PBS's Nova last year that we will coexist in harmony.
The robots do not build themselves. Humans design them. Humans build them. Humans deploy them. Humans support them. And then humans, most importantly, interact with the robots.
Do you work in a job that is at risk of being replaced by a robot? Have you started trying to diversify your skill set because of this? Or maybe you were replaced by a robot and what happened? We're at 800-642-1234. David Basco is Director for Advanced Technology at Rockwell Automation. That's a Milwaukee-based company making industrial automation technology. He also serves on the National Institute of Standards and Technology's Visiting Committee on Advanced Technology, which submits an annual report to the Commerce Secretary. Dave, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me here today.
Well, put some parameters on this, if you will. When we talk about automation, what exactly are we referring to?
So automation really is the automation of things in the manufacturing plants. So it's controlling the plants with computers, which we call programmable logic controllers. But similar to computers you have in your house, it's devices that would actually control motors and moving parts, motor controllers or drives that actually control those. And there's technologies that are applied to that as well. Things like analytics and augmented reality and artificial intelligence to help move that along, as well as robotics.
So, like the washer and dryer I set to go off in 4 hours from now before I left work this morning, that's an example of automation.
Oh, it definitely is, yes.
So when people hear automation, they might think of perhaps self-driving cars because that's one of the more high-profile ones. But, you know, can automation be so ubiquitous now that we don't really think about it like as a thermostat setting that automatically adjusts the temperature, or lights, you know, that automatically go on at certain times?
Kate, absolutely. In fact, I think when it's applied best, you really don't even notice it. It happens and is providing you information, or it's doing something for you, and you don't even notice it's happening.
What can our robots do today that might have seemed completely outside the realm 20, 30 years ago?
We're seeing more with robots working very closely with people. We used to keep the robots and the people apart, and now we're able to have the robots and people work very closely together and interact together. And that was a big step to actually get there. And you're seeing them do very intricate work, and you're seeing them do very large and heavy and difficult to do work as well.
So how are we interacting with robots on the job, and what about the humans in this? How are we feeling about this?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So ideally the robots are there to help with highly repetitive work and to be able to do work that may be ergonomically challenging, where somebody may be limited or maybe difficult for people to pick up heavy items. And humans are interacting with them. Ideally, it's really expanding the human possibility. It's allowing people to do things they weren't able to do in the past.
And we're talking about this today because we saw this Brookings Institution study that looked closely at automation and found here in Wisconsin almost half of all occupational tasks performed by Wisconsinites could be replaced by automation technologies. Should we be concerned about that?
Well, there's no doubt that the jobs are changing, and it's not just manufacturing, but jobs are changing throughout, and technology is causing or really enabling a lot of these changes. But the manufacturing jobs aren't going away. The biggest challenge the manufacturers face today in Wisconsin and through the nation is really finding the skilled workers they need. We're looking at a projection about 3.5 million jobs being created over the next 10 years in manufacturing. Right now, based on what we've seen, 2 million of those will go unfilled because of lack of skills.
So which jobs are robots not well suited to do?
Robots could do repetitive work, but people really have the problem-solving capabilities. They're able to look at things and improve those. They're able to be very flexible in what they do. And it's that combination that really provides tremendous benefits.
When you look at the sector of self-driving cars, we've seen the headlines that about their inevitability, about long-haul trucking going to automation. How might jobs be impacted in long-haul trucking, Uber, Lyft, with automation?
So, you see, you hear about a lot about self-driving vehicles. We're still a long ways away from fully autonomous vehicles operating in any condition. There's five different levels of autonomy for cars, and the most sophisticated car you could buy today is just a level two. But to get to the point of level five, where you'd be able to drive without a person in the vehicle under any conditions, it's a long ways away. I know I travel. I'll come back from the airport, and if it's snowing, they move the freeway exit. I have a hard time finding sometimes at night. So you can see how it would be difficult to really get a vehicle to operate in all different conditions.
We're talking with Dave Vasco. He's Director of Advanced Technology at Rockwell Automation. We're looking at the future of robotics here in Wisconsin and for Wisconsin companies. What potential do you see with automation? You can join in at 800-642-1234. How is it capable of improving our lives and the work we do? And employers, do you use automated technology to run your operation? How has it helped? And what have been the downsides? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Dave, Rockwell has partnered with Foxconn on technology that will be used at its plant in southeast Wisconsin. Can you tell us about that technology and how automation will factor into that?
So we work with a number of manufacturers throughout. I mean, we're rolling out technologies like the traditional automation technologies, and we're rolling out new technologies like augmented reality and artificial intelligence to help our customers really to achieve what they're trying to achieve, give them the most out of their people.
My favorite memory of automation is going into an automobile factory, a GM factory, and just seeing the most glorious synchronicity of automation happening on assembly lines. What are some sectors that you see have really perhaps got it right when it comes to automation?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt the automotives have really done a great job as far as adopting the technology. I think that they've been able to adopt and grow and build work cells and really integrate people into that and do well with it. That's probably one of the best examples. And there's some examples to really grow. Probably one of the ones we see being most an opportunity for is biomanufacturing in the future. We're actually working with an institute to develop human tissue and human organs and actually mass produce that with Dean Kamen out of a plant in New Hampshire, an institute in New Hampshire. And we think there's some tremendous opportunities to really scale that up and to roll that out.
Going back to Foxconn for a moment, we've seen them reportedly replace thousands of factory workers with robots. The company said it's tech would free up its employees to focus on higher value tasks in manufacturing, which is something supporters of automation often say. We heard the clip at the beginning of this from Amazon's chief of robotics saying, look, humans have to drive this. They have to be behind all this. Could we see this happening in factories here in Wisconsin where you have to see a shift of skills to more how you make and control these robots versus doing the actual manufacturing assembly line work?
Absolutely. The technologies will allow the repetitive work to be automated, but it's humans that determine where it's applied. It's humans that will many times see the results of the analysis that's going on. The humans really are the part that make this work. I mean, we see with these digital transformations that there's productivity gained every year, and it's not the robots that are making decisions. It's the humans are making decisions on how to increase the productivity.
Your company is also helping Foxconn with workforce training. How will people work with this automated technology? What do they have to learn to work with robots?
So we're doing a lot with workforce training. We think that's really important. I mean, one of the programs we have is the Academy for Advanced Manufacturing, and it identifies the needed skills And we then, it's actually a veterans program. We take people that have had some technical experience in the service. We run through a 12-week training class, and they get the specific skills they need to go into manufacturing. And when they leave, they actually have a job they can go directly to in manufacturing. But it enables them to make that transition, to take maybe a technical skill they have, maybe fixing a helicopter, but then learn how to apply it to programmable logic controllers to the equipment that's in a factory and actually be productive there and get a meaningful employment.
Tell us about what smart manufacturing is, what it looks like, and how humans fit into that picture.
Sure, sure. So smart manufacturing, it's really, we've been looking at doing this for about 2 decades, and we've been rolling out the computer networks that interconnect all the machines and all the sensors and all the actuators in the factories themselves, and then use the information to be flexible and to be agile in what we produce. And humans play a tremendous role in there in making those decisions, where to apply the technology, what are the results, and looking at the results from analytics and how to make things go better. And it's not just a bunch of data scientists. In our Twinsburg facility, we have the analytics on screens throughout the factory, and everybody looks at them, and they see the results, and they suggest improvements.
A wave of automation is forecast to eliminate millions of jobs in our country in the coming years. Wisconsin is among the states that is most vulnerable. That's from the Brookings Institution. We're talking about this forecast and what we see right now in smart manufacturing, in robotic technology, with Dave Vasco. He's head of advanced technology at Rockwell Automation. Your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. What potential do you see with automation? How is it capable of improving our lives and the work we do today? And employers, do you use automation to run your operation? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the future of automation, robotics, and how Wisconsin businesses are using this technology. Will it replace us? It's the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. According to data from Brookings, nearly half of all work tasks performed by people in our state can be replaced by robots and computers that already exist. And we're talking about this and what's ahead for automation. Getting your thoughts along the way, 800-642-1234. Do you think we're overly concerned about the potential for robots taking over jobs? Do you recall a time when people thought the exact same thing about a technology that ended up not being a disruptive innovation? What potential do you see with automation? Call in. You can also tweet us, WPR Mornings. And Rockwell Automation's Dave Vasco stays with us. Let's go to the phones now with Scott joining us from Beloit. Hi, Scott.
Hey.
What's on your mind? Yeah.
I was just saying, like, what about the automation? You train the people to run the robots, so there might be 100 people working. The robots may take up half the work, and you only need maybe 12 people to run the robots. What about the people that are out of work?
Scott, thanks for the call. It doesn't take that many people to run robots, Dave Vasco.
No. So there, you really need to have people to apply the robots. You need people to do the maintenance, and you need people in the factory. The robots can do the highly repetitive work, but it's not all the work. They can't look at optimizing the plant. They'll just do whatever they're told to do, and to optimize that, you need people to really do that. And companies that are successful, that are productive, will expand, and that will create additional jobs.
Scott, may I ask what sector you work in? Do you work with robots? Automation?
At one time, my company I worked for did have automation, which helped out a lot. But I'm just saying it takes away some of the jobs that people had, so there's less people working.
Are you concerned about automation and robotics in factories here in Wisconsin?
I guess I'm not too concerned about it in factories. I'm just saying, what about the folks that
sure
do not have the education or are not going to get them 12 weeks of training? What happens for those folks, you know?
And Dave, Scott, thanks. And Dave, you had mentioned that education is such an important piece in this equation.
The education, I think, is the critical piece, helping people to make that transition, because I think there are the jobs can be more rewarding, they can be better paying as far as if people can actually make those transitions. Some of it is external training. Some of it can actually be on-the-job training. So we're seeing the technologies themselves being able to apply that. Technologies like augmented reality and virtual reality can be used to create work instructions for people to be allow them to learn new tasks, to learn maybe difficult, hard, or dangerous tasks and simulate those ahead of time, or they could be used to augment their skills so when somebody's approaching a machine, they may be getting just-in-time training to learn how to interact with that or to repair that machine.
Let's go to Emily now in Plymouth. Emily, hi.
Hi, good morning. So a little bit of background. I am a International Alliance of Theatrical Stagehands employee union member and have been for 20 years. This is something that we talk about a lot, especially in our industry. And from what I understand, something like 68% of the jobs that we do today could be potentially done by robots. And so what I would like to see is people talking about being proactive about what we can do to protect families and protect workers. And one of the things that we've come up with is perhaps for every robot that a company employs, they could pay a certain fee that would go into a pot, so to speak, something similar to what unemployment insurance would be, and then to pay these displaced workers that will be replaced by robots. But what I would really like for people to start talking about is being proactive about that, not just saying, oh, well, you know, we'll diversify and these people will go somewhere. But
yeah,
an actual, you know.
Emily, taking care of workers. Dave Vasco, you know, we can't compete with the endurance of robots. I'm sure they have to be recharged at some point, but they don't need health insurance. They don't need a sick time off. They don't need, I mean, they would seem to be a lot less maintenance than a human.
So robots are able to do tasks, the repetitive tasks extremely well. But I think we need to be careful. When we talk about task substitution is not the same as job substitution. So when a robot or automation can do part of a job, it's not doing all of the job. So we have to be careful with that. And these technologies, when we introduce technology, the outcome, the number of jobs that are created, are typically much more significant than the number of jobs that are displaced. With computers, if you look back through history, it's actually about 5.5 times more jobs were created than were displaced with the computers. So I think it's a way to look. You need to look at what the additional jobs are, what's created, what additional opportunities are created there as well.
And you serve on a committee for the National Institute of Standards and Technology. What is that committee doing to further our position as a leader for automation?
They're doing quite a bit. So I think some of the key things that are being done are the manufacturing institutes that are part of Manufacturing USA. There's 14 institutes that are pushing forth technology, and they're developing this, they're applying it, they're helping companies to apply this, and they're looking at the job requirements, the skills required in order to do that, and to ensure manufacturers can do that. The other thing that they're sponsoring is something called Manufacturing Extension Partnership, and we have one in Wisconsin, which is extremely active. And they're teaching small and medium manufacturers how to really transition into these technologies, what skills they'll need, where the gaps are, and help employees to be able to actually bridge those gaps.
Let's go to Peter in Madison now. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Yeah, I got a question for you. I drive a tractor trailer for a living. And they're talking to you, made a comment about the automotive or the robotic side taking over self-driving trucks and stuff like that. How is that going to affect the variables that we have to deal with every day, like people cutting in front of us, making quick decisions where to avoid accidents? And not only that, is it going to be able to look a mile ahead that we're trained to do to avoid any accidents or anything that would cause bodily harm? The reason why I'm asking these questions is because I see the problems with Tesla, what they're having, and I was just want your thoughts on it.
Peter, great question. Thank you. Dave Vasco, you know, when will they become as sophisticated as humans, these automated trucks?
I think we're a long way away. And I would take Gil Pratt, the CEO of Toyota Research, believes that nobody in the automotive or IT industries is close to achieving true level 5 autonomy. People have skills to analyze the situation that the AI doesn't really have today. And it'll be a long time before we get there. We are seeing AI applied at lower levels that help people. Maybe if somebody falls asleep, it's able to tell them that the car is moving or actually help to keep it centered in a lane. But I think it'll be a long time before you'll see this true level 5 autonomy, particularly in areas where weather disturbances in the roads could be very difficult.
Where do you see opportunities for growth in Wisconsin to use more automation?
We are close to full employment in Wisconsin. So I mean the automation can be used, particularly as we see companies coming in. We see companies coming in to reshore their facilities to be closer, to be more agile. It can help to get a jump start to bridge that gap to get companies going. So I think there's some excellent opportunities there with companies coming in to use automation. As we become more connected in our supply chains, we could use the automation to interconnect and make sure that Wisconsin manufacturers can be integral parts to these supply chains that are going on throughout the U.S. and throughout the world, particularly with issues with security, and be able to tie in with secure ecosystems. That's extremely important. And I think Wisconsin manufacturers can use that and adopt and thrive in that environment.
Dave, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Dave Vasco is Director for Advanced Technology at Rockwell Automation. That's a Milwaukee-based company making industrial automation technology, and we've been talking about the future of robotics in Wisconsin industry. Coming up, what a new study reveals about housing needs for residents of color in the La Crosse area. We'll break down the latest findings and what can be done to increase housing quality and affordability. Stay with us for that conversation just ahead here on the Ideas Network.